This component is a survey of how healthcare and public health are organized and services are delivered in the U.S. This is Unit 1, the Introduction to Modern Healthcare in the U.S. Within this unit, this is Lecture 1-1, Introduction and Definitions. So what are the objectives of this unit? In this unit, we will delineate some of the key definitions that are encountered in the healthcare domain. Distinguish between healthcare systems and healthcare practices. Outline key paradigm shifts in medicine. Describe in overview terms the technology that is used in the delivery and administration of healthcare. And discuss core values in American healthcare. So let's start with some definitions. And let's begin by defining the term health. We often think of health as the absence of disease. But this is a somewhat narrow description of the term. In 1946, representatives of 61 countries attended the International Health Conference in New York to ratify the preamble to the Constitution of the World Health Organization, which is the specialized agency of the United Nations that deals with global health. The WHO definition of health is that health is the state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Thus, illness represents a state of poor health. Let's look at the term healthcare. Healthcare is the prevention and treatment of illness. It's delivered by people who are drawn from different and often disparate disciplines, including medicine, dentistry, nursing, laboratory science, pharmacy, and cardiovascular technologists, medical assistants, perfusionists, or respiratory therapists. As you can see, these people have different backgrounds and they have disparate training, but often work together as interdisciplinary teams in order to deliver care to patients. Healthcare is delivered in different places. In this unit, we are going to define and look at inpatient facilities, nursing and residential care, and outpatient facilities. When we think of inpatient facilities, we typically think of hospitals. Hospitals are institutions that treat patients who are sick or injured. These are physical structures that house patients during treatment and allow clinicians to conduct diagnostic tests and perform management interventions, and also perform specialized functions such as surgery or managing childbirth. Historically, hospitals were places for shelter or almshouses for the poor. In 1946, the Hospital Survey and Construction Act was passed. This act was known as the Hill-Burton Act. Since it was sponsored by Senator Harold Burton of Ohio and Senator Lister Hill of Alabama. This law provided federal grants to improve hospital physical infrastructure and led to a significant augmentation of the infrastructure of facilities that provided inpatient care in the United States. And there are different types of hospitals. Hospitals can provide general, medical, and surgical care. But some hospitals may provide specialty services that focus on a particular aspect of care, such as orthopedics, pediatrics, or women's services. Some hospitals focus on mental health or psychiatric care. Hospitals may be publicly or privately owned. Public hospitals may be administered by the city, county, state, or at a federal level. Privately owned hospitals may be not-for-profit or may pursue profits like any other business. Patients may be admitted to a hospital one of two ways. They may go into an emergency room where they will be evaluated by a team of clinicians. If the clinicians feel that they are sick enough, they may be admitted into the hospital for care. Patients may also be directly admitted to hospitals from physicians' offices. Let us now turn our attention to healthcare delivery in nursing and residential care facilities. These can be short-term facilities where it is anticipated that patients will stay for a brief period of time before returning home or to their residences, or long-term facilities where patients may stay for an extended or indefinite period of time. An example of a short-term facility would be a post-surgical rehabilitation center. After surgery, it may be deemed that a patient is too frail to return home and may need to spend some time in a rehabilitation center before gaining enough strength to return home. An example of a long-term facility might be an Alzheimer's unit in a nursing home. A patient with gradually progressive dementia may need to stay indefinitely in such a facility. Long-term care is classified by the level of care. For example, a patient with relatively few health needs may reside in an assisted living facility, whereas a patient with profound and significant health needs may need the services of a nursing home. Nursing homes were originally part of the welfare system and gradually shifted to becoming a part of the current healthcare system. In 1969, as the cost of Medicare increased, the then Department of Health and Human Services drastically reduced coverage for nursing homes. A year later, in 1970, the Miller Amendment established a new standard. Intermediate care facilities that didn't require the same amount of skilled nursing or resources thus required reduced levels of reimbursement. And in the 1990s, another standard, subacute care, was defined to provide care for patients discharged from hospitals who briefly needed a higher level of care that was provided to a majority of patients in a skilled nursing facility. These distinct levels of care have been delineated primarily from the cost-effectiveness perspective. Let's now spend some time talking about healthcare delivery in the outpatient setting. Outpatient facilities may be physicians' offices, dental offices, medical and diagnostic laboratories, or other ambulatory health services. Physicians' offices may be focused on primary, family, or specialty care. Family practice typically includes family care, internal medicine, and pediatrics, but also may focus on a particular specialty. These specialty care offices may represent medical specialties such as gastroenterology or cardiology, surgical specialties such as orthopedics or neurosurgery, or may reflect mental health care in the outpatient setting. These offices are physical structures, and though they may be present in close proximity to inpatient facilities, many physicians' offices exist in the communities that they serve, and some of them may be quite far from hospitals. These offices may be single specialty, where all the physicians practicing in a single office are of the same field, such as family practice or internal medicine. Or they may be multi-specialty offices, where an internal medicine practitioner may share space with an orthopedic surgeon. Dental offices may be those of general dentists or specialists, such as orthodontists, endodontists, or oral surgeons. When we think of laboratories, we think of medical and diagnostic laboratories. Diagnostic laboratories are typically involved with imaging, X-rays, CT scans, computerized axial tomography, or CAT scan, MRIs, magnetic resonance imaging, and mammograms. Ultrasound imaging centers are examples of diagnostic laboratories. Medical laboratories usually deal with biologic specimens such as blood, cytology, or bacteriologic specimens. Specialized medical laboratories include DNA testing laboratories, medical pathology laboratories, parasitology and mycology health laboratories, toxicology health testing, and facilities that deal with non-radiologic, non-X-ray testing services. Examples of ambulatory health services include ambulance services, home health care, blood and organ banks, hearing and vision screening facilities, smoking cessation programs, hospice services, and visiting nurse services. The healthcare industry is one of the largest industries in the U.S. In 2008, 14.3 million jobs for wage and salary workers came from this industry. The industry comprises of almost 600,000 establishments, and about three-quarters of these establishments are the offices of physicians, dentists, or other health practitioners in the outpatient setting. It is interesting to note that while hospitals constitute only 1% of all healthcare establishments, they employ 35% of all healthcare workers. This table reflects the organization of the healthcare industry and shows the percent distribution of employment in establishments in the health services sector. This data is from 2008. You can see that about 87% of establishments and 42% of employment is in the ambulatory healthcare services. And you can see in this table that hospitals comprise 1.3% of establishments, but employ 34.6% of the people who work in the healthcare industry. Nursing and residential care facilities are about 11% of the establishment and employ about 23% of workers in the health services sector. So what is a healthcare system? A healthcare system is an organization that delivers healthcare. There are many variations and iterations of healthcare systems worldwide, but two general rules apply. Healthcare systems promote good health in population, and healthcare systems balance the levels of actual care provided with the expectations of the population that they serve. There are different models of healthcare systems. At the one end is a purely public system, where care is entirely conducted by the state. On the other end is a purely private healthcare system model, where care is conducted entirely by independent, privately funded organizations. In reality, healthcare systems often exist in a mixed model that falls somewhere between these two extremes. Even in countries with state-run healthcare systems, a private system may coexist in parallel, and the private system may offer a full spectrum of services, or services that are not available under the public system. There is no universal healthcare system in the U.S., but there are public and private companies. Public healthcare systems may be organized at the federal level. For example, the Veterans Health Administration provides healthcare for veterans through a series of outpatient and inpatient facilities run by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, which is the U.S. government's second largest department. Public healthcare systems may also exist as a partnership between federal and state governments. Two examples are Medicaid, which is available to some but not all economically disadvantaged patients, and the Children's Health Insurance Program, which covers uninsured children. Public healthcare systems may also be organized at the local level, for example, the Multnomah County Health Department, which provides clinical and public health services in Portland, Oregon. Privately owned commercial organizations may also act as healthcare systems. These organizations may serve a single area, or they may serve multiple geographic locations that may be contiguous or disparate. There are two types of private healthcare systems, not-for-profit and for-profit. Not-for-profit organizations do not operate with the intent to make profits for private gain. Generally, if not-for-profit organizations do generate a surplus, the profit is used to further the goals of the organization. These organizations are governed by the principle of non-distribution. For-profit organizations distribute surplus funds to shareholders or owners. Healthcare systems can be measured using benchmarks. An appropriate choice of benchmarks is essential for an accurate evaluation. One framework of assessment that was developed in New Zealand looked at patient-assessed value, that is, timeliness, cost to the patient, and the extent to which patients' expectations are met, and also looked at performance, clinical intervention, and efficiency. Developing robust performance benchmarks is essential in order to understand how healthcare systems function.